Let's take a few moments to talk about miscellaneous topics and investments that, for the vast majority of us, are not really that important. And those are precious metals, art, and collectibles. Slide number 2. Investing in precious metals. Gold. Gold. Don't you want gold? Well, recent survey said that a plurality, not the majority, but a plurality of people, when asked what's the best investment going forward, is gold. And this is typical because gold has done really well the last decade. Everything else has done really poorly. Well, bonds have done okay. And what is gold? Really, what is it? As an investment, it's not really that good. In fact, it's kind of silly. It doesn't pay interest. It doesn't pay dividends or rent. It doesn't grow. It doesn't go find new markets and products. But, you know, over the millennial, people have been willing to assign a value to it that may or may not have anything to do with reality. I think J.P. Morgan said it best, gold is money and nothing else. Well, that's not entirely true. There are uses for gold, but there are better substitutes. Well, maybe not better, but a whole lot cheaper. Gold is a phenomenal electrical conductor. So in highly sophisticated electronics parts, there are just tiny little uses, places where they use gold. It's great for your teeth, and of course we use it for jewelry. But other than that, mostly what it's used for is somebody digs it up one side of the world, transports to the other side of the world, buries it back in the ground, and hires somebody with a gun to guard it. Yeah. Are you going to buy it? Well, it's not easy. Bullion bars and wafers are expensive, and you have to be careful. You just don't know what you're buying. You could be buying a bar of lead with a coating of gold on top of it. It's happened in the past, folks. It'll happen in the future. Coins are easier, but where do you store them? That's a problem. People buy them in case of collapse of the economy, but if you put them in your safety deposit box, you're not going to be allowed to get into the banks. They're going to have people with guns in front of them. You're going to store them in your house? Good luck. You could buy gold stocks. Well, now that's not a bad choice because that's an actual company. And now you can actually buy gold in mutual funds and ETFs. And the ETFs or other mutual funds, they will buy the gold. And of course, they can buy a lot more of it, so they buy the bars and the wafers. But you never know, they might be buying lead that's been, painted gold. So, how about silver? Well, silver does actually have far more uses than gold because of its lower cost. It's right above gold in the periodic table. Very interesting element, gold and silver, elements, silver. Silver used to be used, it was the big ingredient in something called film. You've heard of film, you millennials? You actually never seen film, but yeah, exactly. Mirrors and jewelry and a lot of electronic components. Now, the next three, platinum, palladium, and rhodium, do actually have some interesting possibilities for the future because they are used extensively in very sophisticated operations such as fuel cells, hydrogen fuel cells. And if hydrogen fuel cells ever do become very popular, personally, I doubt it. They're just so expensive. Then these three will become very popular. You may have heard of catalytic converters in your car. In fact, it's one of the most expensive parts in your car. In some cars, it's cost more than the engine. And these elements are used quite a bit in catalytic converters. I always tell people, if you believe that the world economy is going to fall apart soon, please buy plenty of gold, silver, platinum, palladium. But I think Tom Petruno, late of the Los Angeles Times, said it better. If your reason for owning gold has something to do with the end of the world as we know it, shotguns and canned food probably would be more practical investments. And I agree with them wholeheartedly. Why? Because if you believe that it's really going to fall apart, this technologically based civilization is going to crack and piece itself apart, and there's going to be no food at the Vons and no gas at the gas station and no clothes at the Chevron. The cell phones aren't going to be working. The SDG&E is not going to be pumping out electricity, and the trash isn't going to be picked up, and the sewers are backed up, and the hospitals, the schools, the banks, the fire departments, the police departments are all shuttered. Get out of the Northern Hemisphere. Go learn to raise goats and grow your own food in Tierra del Fuego. And make some friends with some penguins, because your gold is not going to help you, folks. And neither are your shotguns and your canned food, because there are 50,000 people coming your way scavenging. And another 50,000 and 100,000 behind them. And you say, well, I have 44,000 rounds of ammunition. Great. Good luck. It isn't going to help you. No, failure is not an option, folks. If we do fail, if the system does fail, we all die. It's that simple. I'll meet you at the beach. I'll bring the vodka and the marshmallows and we'll have a good time. Side number three. This, folks, is what gold has done over the last 200 years. And I don't know if you remember this slide from chapter one. Gold has barely kept up with inflation throughout the years. And then notice when gold does well. In the 1860s, Civil War. 1930s, Depression. World War II. And then gold started to do really well in the 1970s when inflation started to go up. And some of you weren't alive, but it peaked in 80, 81 at about $800 an ounce. And then promptly fell to 250. Exactly. And then in 2000, it started to rise again. And the last 10 years has done very well. It's beat inflation handily and beat everything else handily. But look at the difference between gold and bonds. And then look at what stocks have done. Exactly. Exponential growth. Right. So when people say, what about gold? I say, all right, you want to put 5, 10% of your money in gold just in case the whole thing falls apart. But it ain't going to help. But, hey, if it makes you feel good, what do I think personally gold's going to do over the next 10 years? Well, if you look at the way the markets work, what worked the last 10 years doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work the next 10 years. And in the year 2000, everybody thought stocks were going to do really well going forward because they had trounced bonds, trounced gold, trounced everything. And then it turns out that, you know, that was the best time to be buying gold and bonds. Exactly. So now when stocks have done really poorly the last 10, 12 odd years, I think the stock market is the place to be. Real estate, again, we discuss real estate in a separate but I think real estate's a great deal right now. But I would not be buying gold. But that's me. That doesn't mean I'm right. Don't say me. Oh, Mr. Banner says don't buy gold. That doesn't mean I'm right, folks. Remember, that's why there's chocolate, vanilla, and some people like strawberry. Slide number four. How about precious gems, rubies, diamonds, sapphires? Well, the problem with these things is they're not rare. People have been conditioned to believe that, and De Beers and other or international organizations have done their best to make you believe that they are rare, but they're not. In fact, they make diamonds, folks. Yes, they're made out of carbon, just like you and I. We are made out of carbon. Peanut butter is made out of carbon, and there's this wonderful video of this machine that turns carbon into diamonds, and the guy puts a little piece of peanut butter in there and out pops a diamond. And so this is actually an interesting business opportunity, because right now you can do this. Eventually you'll be able to do it with people, but right now you can do it with Fluffy or Fido or your cat or dog. After they have met their great demise, you can send in their ashes and they will send you back a diamond. So you can wear Fluffy on your finger for the... Diamonds are not an investor's best friend. Slide number five. How about coins and works of art and stamps and baseball cards and ceramics and paintings and Beanie Babies and Barbie dolls? Well, you know, if you enjoy it, great. It can be a great hobby. It may be a good investment, but more likely it's going to be a bust or even a disaster. We hear, well, this was several years ago, but this guy out in El Cajon had what he said was $50,000 worth of Barbie dolls locked up in a self-storage facility, and one weekend they all disappeared. Oh, wow. Be careful of investment scams. Know the dealer's reputation and comparison shop, because it's very likely that what you're buying may make you happy because it's hanging on the wall and it's beautiful and it moves you. It's probably not going to make you rich. There's a gentleman who ran Christie's auction, Christopher Burge or Burge, and he said it best. Don't buy art as an investment. This is the guy who runs one of the biggest auction houses in the world. He says you buy art because you love it, because it speaks to you. And it may do well. And there is some art that has done phenomenally well, beaten everything, folks. You know, all the things, stocks, bonds, gold, everything. But most art does not do that well. So you have to know what you're doing, plus be lucky, plus have a lot of money to start with. Actually, I almost made a couple of really wise decisions with regard to art, and I'm pretty sure I would have done really, really well. But I also worried about the fact that the kids often throw ketchup around the house. So do you really want a painting that's worth, you know, $40,000 or $20,000 or whatever hanging on your wall? And then what happens if somebody steals it? Oh, well, you know, the insurance isn't covered by your homeowner's insurance, folks. You have to have special insurance, which can run upwards of 10% of the value. So you're going to spend $4,000 a year for a $40,000 painting if you want it insured. Okay, slide number six. The maximum capital gains tax rate on most all investments is currently 15%, and depending on your tax bracket, it could be as low as 5%. So stocks, bonds, mutual funds, real estate. The capital gains tax on precious metals, art, and collectibles is 28%. And none of these investments are eligible for your retirement accounts, your educational savings accounts. Well, all right, gold coins. There's a way you can put gold coins. They have to be United States gold coins. Figure that one out. But of course, if you bought ETFs, mutual funds, exchange-traded funds, you could put them in your retirement account. But do you think the Congress is trying to tell you something? Yeah, in other words, it's not for the vast majority of us. If you enjoy collecting gold coins or art or stamps, if you really want to try to make it buying those rubies and sapphires and diamonds, good luck. But don't call it an investment. See ya. I hope this was somewhat illuminating. And again, remember, there are always exceptions. There are people who will tell you, who've been in this for a long time, and they saw that one painting at a yard sale in somebody's attic or whatever, and bought it for $100, and it was, you know, worth $100,000 or something like that. But that's very, very rare. Good luck.